You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Hour number three, the Roto Experts, Saturday morning edition. Got to pace myself. Came out of the gate hot in the first hour. That's hour number three. I need some nourishment. I need to. You know, you guys are coming at it strong today, so I need to have my energy up. So I'm here with Corey
Seahawks
Parson.
Offense. We need to get Bevel away from you.
Yeah. So yeah, he's taking all the wind out of my sails.
Great analogy. Well, in any event.
Yeah, that one fell flat. So, anyway. It's Corey Parson and Scott Angle here.
Not all going to be winners.
Yeah, they can't all be winners. I agree. You got to take your shots. You know, you got to put some shots up. Steph Curry doesn't shoot 100%. So it's Corey Parson, Scott Angle, and myself, Mike Blewett, here on the Roto Experts for another hour. In the next segment, we're actually going to have Greg Arias from Pro Football Spot. He's been covering the Titans since 2002. You can get him on Twitter at Greg Arias PFS for Pro Football Spot. So looking forward to talking to him next. We previewed the other games, and we'll talk a little bit more about this game in depth, but obviously the Pats a huge favorite here. Many people surprised that the Titans got to this point. I'm not stunned that they beat the Chiefs. It was a shocking way in which it happened. I did have the Chiefs winning. I had the Titans covering, but the Chiefs winning. But an injury here and some shoddy play calling, and it just kind of all unraveled on the Titans last week. But kudos to them for Derrick Henry getting the ball moving down the field too, Scott.
Mike, I had the
Go ahead,
Scott. I had the Chiefs in the Super Bowl until Andy Reid decided to turn. Yeah, until Andy Reid decided to turn into Andy Reid. Andy Reid is the best coach in the NFL and one of the best coaches in the NFL and one of the worst coaches in the NFL at the same time.
It's a puzzling statement that I completely agree with. He does such a good job of getting these guys through the regular season, but there are baffling scenarios in his playoff losses.
And even throughout the course of the regular season, you look at sometimes throughout the course of the season where it just falls apart. It's like that jet sweep, those shovel passes. It's like, what is this guy doing? Prime example, last week, Hunt only carrying the ball four times in the second half. I mean, come on, man. You scheme up
and
this great offense.
An 18-point lead with the NFL's leading rusher, and he got the ball four times in the second half.
And if you were to say who, if there was a Jeopardy question, and the answer would be, who is Andy Reid?
Yeah, right. If you set up a generic, terrible football scenario, who is the play caller? You probably could get it. Who's Andy Reid? So, Scott, obviously they find themselves in this position, a very huge underdog in New England. We'll ask Greg Arias a bunch of questions next, but it's going to be as tough a spot as Marcus Mariota has ever been in.
Yeah, I've already seen people say, oh, people pulling an upset and stuff. Like, look, it's one thing to beat. It was the biggest, one of the biggest comebacks of the modern era. Like a comeback like that from 18 points down, not done since 1957 when the Detroit Lions did it. But, you know, schematically, they'll try to run the ball, and when the Pats shut that down, it's over.
Yeah. So we'll come back. We'll talk to Greg Arias from Pro Football Spot next on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Greg Arias joining us. He's from Pro Football Spot. Been covering the Titans since 2002. He's the editor and lead writer for Pro Football Spot for the Tennessee Titans. Greg, first of all, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you joining the program today.
Well, thank you for the invitation, and glad to be with you.
Yeah, no worries. So, obviously, huge comeback last week in Kansas City, as my co-host Scott Engel said before the break, first time since 1957 that a road team had overcome an 18-point deficit. They find themselves now going into the Hornets' nest. It's New England in January, where they have over an 800 winning percentage. So, what do the Titans need to do to get this ball rolling in the positive direction for them?
Well, it starts with a simple stat that I found this week. In the Titans' 10 wins this season, they have rushed the football collectively, not necessarily one individual, but collectively as a team, for 148 or more yards per game. Conversely, New England, in their three losses this year, have given up 148 or more rushing yards to an opponent in their three losses. So I think that's the key right there. Run the football with Derrick Henry. Obviously, you're going to have a little bit from Marcus Mariota. And if you get something out of some of the receivers on the jet sweeps and things of that nature, that's all well and good also.
Do you think that's a great stat, that the Patriots, like, may have uncovered that as well, you know, in their pregame research, and, you know, maybe they come out and try to throw the ball to set up the run?
Well, I think certainly you have to be able to throw the football to help with the run game, because obviously Belichick and New England are smart guys. They know this as well as I do. If I can find the stat, I know they've got it. But I really think it comes back to the run, because this passing offense this year, other than Delanie Walker, has not really been spectacular. There have been games where certain individual players would have a good game, but collectively it's not been good. And if you look at Marcus Mariota's numbers, they've not been good this year compared to what he was a season ago and where everybody thought he would be this year. Now, he's capable of having one of those days, and I think he needs to throw the football, but it's going to come back to being effective and running the football, because if they can do that, then it opens up some things with the play action that they like to do. But if there's no threat of running the football, then the play action and all that other stuff kind of go out the window, in my mind, against the Patriots in this setting.
Hey, Greg, how you doing? Let me ask you this. You hit on it already. If coming into the season, if we was to identify three quarterbacks that were kind of next onto us to ascend, it would have been like Derek Carr, Jameis Winston, and Marcus Mariota. All three of them had bad results as you look at back at their seasons. What do you think exactly happened with Mariota? Was it the injuries this year, or did he just regress, or was it lack of coaching? What happened?
I think a lot of it has to do with injuries. You look at he and Derek's Carr specifically, those two guys suffered almost an identical injury on the same day last season, and both of them have kind of struggled this year. So I think that's some of it. Now, Marcus would never tell you that or use that as an excuse. He's not that kind of guy. He's just going to, you know, tell you that he's played poorly this year, which I think some of that is true, but I think a lot of it has to do with that and the fact he's dealt with the hamstring injury, which at times has limited his ability to run. And for this offense to be at its maximum best, the at least threat of him being able to take off and hurt you with the run has to be there. And when that has not been, teams have said, okay, we let you stay in the pocket and throw the football, and we're going to defend you. And he's not done as good of a job this year picking out receivers and doing things in that setting, because he doesn't have that option, and they don't have to maybe dedicate or at least be aware of him taking off and running the football when he's been injured.
We're with Greg Arias from Pro Football Spot. He's covering the Titans since 2002. It's at Greg Arias, PFS for Pro Football Spot. So, look, you're never going to go into a game thinking, how do we shut down Tom Brady? It's just, how do we limit it? Part of it is what you've already talked about. Let's try and get the ball rolling. Let's get up to 150 rushing yards. Keep him off the field. Best defense is a good offense in this instance. But they also have Jarrell Casey, who's a big weapon and can create some discomfort for Tom Brady amongst other quarterbacks by pressing the pocket. So I would imagine that them trying to neutralize Casey is going to be a big part of New England's game plan. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I think you have to first stop Jarrell Casey, and second, protect the edges against Morgan and Arakpo. And Dick LeBeau obviously has some exotic blitzes. He's a master of the zone blitz and things like that. So he's going to throw some things, but it's nothing that Brady has not seen before and nothing that New England won't be expecting. But if you limit Jarrell Casey and the push he gets in the middle, then I think that's the first step, because you keep him from getting pressure. The outside guys then have to come around the edges, which obviously it takes longer to get there, and Brady is so good at picking the spot, throwing the football, getting it out quickly, that I don't think the edge rush is going to be that big of a factor today. And the other thing is, for the Titans, you have to kind of figure out a way to at least slow down or do something with Rob Gronkowski, because the Titans have struggled against tight ends. They were struggling last week against Travis Kelce before he got knocked out of the game. And you can't really rely on knocking Gronk out of the game to be the way to stop him.
How much of a key factor is Kevin Byard going to be today? Obviously, the bulletin board material that he put up that I think was taken out of context. It's not like he was comparing Tom Brady to Blake Bortles, but saying it's his job to just make the quarterback look bad. Plus, Adoree Jackson, you know, this is a big assignment for him. Do you think that the Patriots are looking at this secondary as like the one weakness they're going to pick on, because the front seven has been pretty darn sturdy all year?
I would think so. The secondary is the weak spot for this team. Of course, you've got Logan Ryan, who has missed a couple of games with injuries. He's a former Patriot. They know him. He knows them. I think they're going to look at Adoree Jackson. I think if I'm Tom Brady, I don't necessarily look to pick on, and I know he's a safety, but if you've got him lined up in coverage, pick on Kevin Byard, because he's the one guy back there that's proven that he has a nose for the football and can make some plays. So not that Brady will avoid him, but I think they're going to try to work on Adoree Jackson today first and foremost, because he is the young guy. Now, he has some talent. He's played better as the season has gone on, but he's a little bit undersized and he's still inexperienced. So I think that's where they start out, working with him. And then, of course, obviously Gronkowski in the middle of the field doing some things, and I think the Titans probably start with a linebacker on him early on. Jayon Brown, I would think, would be the guy that would get that assignment. The question is, can Brown, who's undersized compared to Gronkowski, do anything with him, and are the Titans going to have to try to double-team him? But the secondary, if I'm New England, is definitely where I'm looking at.
Hey, Greg, I think for the most part, I think the Titans' season is going to come to an end today. So, looking forward to the offseason for this team, I had a couple of questions. Number one, do you think this entire coaching staff returns? And number two, where do you think DeMarco Murray is at next season?
Two good questions. To answer the first, no, I don't think the entire coaching staff returns. I think that will be something that will come down from Amy Adams Strunk and from John Robinson. There needs to be some changes, and I think the two positions, and this is just my opinion, I don't have this based on any good information from team sources, but I think you're looking at offensive coordinator and quarterback coach are the two positions that I feel like probably get changed in the coaching shuffle. And as far as DeMarco Murray, great question. He had a great season a year ago. Mike Mularkey is a very loyal guy. I think John Robinson is also. DeMarco obviously hasn't been as good this season. If the numbers are right, I think they bring him back. But if the numbers aren't, if he wants more money than they're willing to pay for what they feel like his role will be, then he's probably going to be expendable and be gone from this team. But I think they wouldn't mind having him now as a backup to Derrick Henry, because obviously we've seen what Henry can do when he's motivated to go out and do it. And of course he has to go out and try to prove it again today. But he seems to have cemented himself at least in the conversation to be the starter next year. And with DeMarco getting up in age, and we know how that happens with running backs, obviously probably his best football now is behind him.
Yeah, can I squeeze one more in quickly? Corey Davis, when he got healthy towards the back end of the season, we really didn't see the kind of numbers we expected from the top of our draft pick.
That's true, but I think some of that has to do with the rookie learning curve. He missed so much time in training camp in the season that he wasn't able to be where he should have been at the late portion of the season when he finally got healthy.
All right.
Good stuff from Greg Arias from Pro Football Spot. He's the editor and lead writer at Pro Football Spot, covering the Tennessee Titans since 2002. Follow him on Twitter at Greg Arias PFS. Greg, enjoy the game tonight. It's a tough assignment, but this is why they play the games, right? Anything can happen. So thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you again down the road. We'll come back after the break and recap what Greg just gave us. So it's Mike Scott and Corey on the Roto Experts.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're here for another 36 minutes. And then it's going to be Weekend Fantasy Update. That's going to be with Joe Galina, Frank Stample, and Mike Florio. Those guys will take you from 12 to 2. And then our very own producers will be on. That's Pete Considori producing this show, along with Chris Pavona and Kevin Walsh. And then from 4 to 6, Kevin Walsh, along with Tony Cincata, doing Fantasy Gold. So, Pete, if you're available to talk, what do you got going on today? What are you going to talk about?
I'm very excited today. We're going to be previewing, obviously, Divisional Weekend, but also we are introducing our new segment, the Fantasy Producers Movie Club, where every week we watch a movie and we discuss it on air. This week we're going to be reviewing Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. So I'm very excited about that.
So you're reviewing 25-year-old movies?
It's not only 25-year-old movies. We just pick random ones from Netflix so that everyone could watch. Who has Netflix, well, and stuff that won't be too groundbreaking if we reveal anything.
What's
let me
Netflix?
Ask you this.
I can't help you there, Corey, if you don't know what Netflix is.
I actually don't have Netflix. Like, I don't use Netflix. I just don't.
Really?
We don't.
By the way, also, we're talking about programming.
I got too much going on.
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we're talking about programming. Don't forget my new Fantasy Hall of Fame Hour.
Oh, God.
8 p.m. Eastern tonight. Jeff Harrison of
RotoWire. I'm questioning the guy on his show, and you just plugged yourself.
I just thought something about the Hall of Fame Hour.
He went through the whole program grid and forgot me.
Scott, the story ain't over yet, Scott. My God.
I'm not even done. Can you let the guy promote his own show? Works his ass off all weekend. He's got one show.
Nobody's
I'm trying
debating
to ask him
that.
Questions about it.
Yeah, then you ripped him for reviewing 25-year-old movies.
What's it? You guys laughed, right? It's part of the show. Yeah. Trying to entertain people here. So, Pete, my follow-up question was,
yes.
Are there any recent movies that you've seen that you would recommend somebody go see? Perhaps something that's nominated for an award. Maybe a sci-fi movie like Star Wars or something.
Yeah,
like
I mean, I'm one of the guys who likes Star Wars, the newest one that came out. I know a lot of people are either you hate it or you love it. I'm the person on the side of loving it. I did see Jumanji in theaters. Was it great? No. Was it funny? Yeah, it got me laughing. If you're looking for like an entertaining movie that has some action, some laughs, I would recommend go seeing that. But don't go in there expecting an Oscar winning kind of movie. In my opinion,
Go ahead, Corey. I'll pass it around. Go ahead,
Pete. Who'd you go see the movie with, Jumanji?
I saw my girlfriend.
I figured that. Okay.
She's a big Nick Jonas fan. Yeah, she's a big Nick Jonas fan, and once she heard he was in the movie, that was like a must go for us. So I kind of got dragged to that.
Were you a fan of the other movie when you were a kid?
Yeah, I liked the original.
Like the Robin Williams one.
Yeah, I did.
Got it.
And they do a nice job.
You get a pass for that.
Thank you. They did a nice job of not remaking it. They kind of made a new. me, like a new kind of a concept.
I get it. I get it. No, it's The Rock. It's Kevin
interesting
Hart,
you say
Jack
like
Black,
everybody. It's interesting you say like everybody loves or hates Star Wars, but I'm somewhere in the middle. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great. You know, Jake Sealy, of course, said that everybody who doesn't like it walked in with expectations. But you know, I know people who say, "Look, I didn't have any expectations, and I didn't like it." You know, but you know, I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great. You know, I like
Scott.
Force
you know
Awakens
where
better.
You know how they would. I bet you would have liked it more if they had plugged your show in the middle of the
Paul yeah, Stanley.
You know what, yeah, you know what?
Paul
you know
Stanley
what,
was in it.
Like during those pre-runs in the theaters, like when you sit there for an hour, you know, be doing a Fantasy Hall of Fame hour promo every 15 minutes.
Oh, God.
You're good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So when is the Fantasy Hall of Fame hour, and who's up? Since you said it while everybody else was talking, I didn't actually hear it.
8 p.m. Eastern tonight with Jeff Erickson of RotoWire.
Oh, boy.
Oh, nice. Jeff Erickson. I've been in some leagues with him. So, at Corey, I think we're both in a league with him. But in any event, so good stuff. So 8 o'clock tonight, Jeff Erickson. And I'm sure Scott will tweet that out. You can catch it on Scott's Twitter at Scott E. Roto X. Corey's Twitter is at The Fantasy Exec, E-X-E-C. Pete, do you have a Twitter that people need to go to in order to see your content?
I do, at PJ Considori 29.
There you go.
PJ spell Considori for
C-O-N-S-A-D-O-R-I.
There you go.
Was it 29 for some Rangers player?
That's it's my hockey number. So close.
Oh, see, I thought it was hockey. Yeah, see, I was close. Yeah,
it's hockey close related.
Enough. So
it's rare.
All right, we got like 3 minutes to do the Pats Titans. I don't know if we can squeeze it all in, but we can get it started here at least. So here's some stats that'll throw your way, which are not positive for the Titans. I didn't want to bash the Titans like Corey did to the Titans beat writer. So
hey, I tried, the last
tried
check,
to lay
buddy.
Off.
Yeah.
You're like, so
everybody going to get fired, including you.
Greg, I know this is their last game of the season, so who do you think is going to get fired? That's a nice, uplifting way to ring in the year. So, anyway, the Titans, here's how they have covered opposing receivers. They are 28th against wide receiver number two. You can say it's Chris Hogan. They're 24th best. This is DVOA stats. So how do they compare versus average defense versus these positions? They're 24th. Against opposing tight ends, I don't know what they're going to do with Gronk. I really don't. I mean, I don't know what anybody does against Gronk. I really specifically don't know what the Titans are going to do against him. They are dead last in the league covering backs coming out of the backfield. That's bad news with a guy like Deion Lewis in the backfield and Rex Burkhead and whomever else you want to throw out there. But look,
Rex
this
like
is a tall order.
Play. Jimmy yeah, James White should James be out here today, though.
James
makes
White.
Him a good DFS play.
My bad, yeah. So there you go. They're going to have a tough time covering backs out of the backfield, covering Gronk like everybody else does, and not good against wide receiver, too. They did make some additions to this secondary in Adoree Jackson and Logan Ryan, but it's not fixed yet. They still have struggled to cover guys on the outside. So that would be my biggest concern. Scott, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think Kevin Byard, you know, he's a playmaker, but I think he has to be because – a lot of times when your secondary is good, they avoid guys like Kevin Byard. So that's why he's picking off so many passes.
Yeah, he's tied for the NFL lead with 8 interceptions this year, did Kevin Byard, third most by safety in team history. So, Corey, just give me some initial thoughts. We can continue this after the break, but give me some initial thoughts. And like how we talked about it a bunch with Greg, but can they rack up this yardage like they need to? Because the Pats are just going to sell out and try and stop Henry.
Yeah, it's going to be this is the tough spot they're in right here. They'll be able to get some yardage. I think it'll be a lot of garbage time production that you see. I can see a lot of turnovers in this game. This is a tough spot for them to be going into. I mean, really, like I said it earlier during the week, you have to try to use an avocado to entice Tom Brady and then throw him in the trunk and then leave the stadium.
The only way that this is going to get done is if the Titans win up front and on both sides. I know it's cliche and all that, winning in the trenches and all that kind of stuff, but the only way you get at Brady is if you pressure him up the middle and make him uncomfortable. The Steelers are actually able to do that a little bit, and he almost threw a game-losing interception really close at the end of that Steelers game. Obviously, famously, in the Super Bowls against the Giants, they were able to make him uncomfortable in that way. Conversely, this Titans offensive line, I haven't seen all the Pro Football Focus graded yet, but they are a road-grading type of offensive line. It is old school in that way. They could conceivably run over a Pats defensive line unit that isn't at the top of the league. I'm not selling it on you. I'm just trying to create a scenario where this could happen, Scott.
Yeah, they've been noted as being inconsistent and not quite living up to expectations so far this year. Just imagine if the Titans win, though. They'll be a hero to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Really?
A lot of people rooting against the Patriots would love to see
them. Oh, that's true, too. But a hero is... Yeah.
It'd be a bunch of heroes.
Listen, when you look at this game...
coming to Pittsburgh next week.
That'd be wonderful for you as a Pittsburgh Steelers supporter. When you look at this game, in the second half, those three and outs are going to start adding up and the Patriots are going to hammer them.
I tend to think you're right, but I think it may not even be three and outs. I just don't know if they're going to stop these guys from Jump Street. I just don't know. I don't get caught up in the whole Seth Wickersham piece creating more motivation for them. I don't think the Pats get distracted by that stuff. I just don't. Even if the article was really – I don't think it creates a distraction in that building. I do think there's a lot of teeth to that story, but I don't think that story creates a distraction.
Yeah, I agree there is some teeth to that story, but I think this team is locked in. I don't think they fall victim to that. But I do think there's going to be some interesting moves made in this offseason.
Look, I've been talking about the Alex Guerrero thing before it was even a popular story. That guy is a total sham artist. And the fact that Brady's aligned with him is the one chip in the armor for Brady. I don't understand why he's aligned himself with this guy and why he's decided to start this business with him. It doesn't mean that a guy who's had some really shitty things in his past can't turn himself around to be legitimate and do all this kind of stuff. But when Brady talks about it, it's odd. It's cult-like, and he's aligned himself with a guy who's, criminal, but he's fines for it.
It's like A-Rod and Uri. It's similar to A-Rod and Uri. This type of people, these type of guys, when they interact with the team, it normally doesn't turn out for the in the best. And I think obviously Bill Belichick knows that. And then to not let Garoppolo into that, into that little thing of theirs, it's something. I think it's something going on. And I really do think Bill Belichick was ready to cut ties with Tom Brady.
I don't doubt it. I mean, I floated a conspiracy theory over a year ago about this kind of stuff. It ends up not being right, but I think it's because in some ways Belichick was forced to trade Garoppolo against his will. Because, Scott, the one thing I would say about it is that the Garoppolo trade didn't make sense when it happened. That's the one thing I can say about it.
A lot of this, though, is speculation from the outside. Nobody knows what really goes on inside the locker room.
Whatever, Wickersham did the same thing to the Seahawks a couple months ago.
Yeah, but saying that, Belichick's ready to get rid of Brady, though, we don't know that.
Okay, we'll come back and wrap it up after this.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Saturday morning, headed towards the top of the hour, 20 minutes to go on this show before Weekend Fantasy Update takes over. We talked about all the Pats drama and all that stuff. Jimmy Gucci Garoppolo, as Corey likes to call him. Some people call him Jimmy GQ. We never got a prediction on this because we started talking about the whole Belichick, Brady, Alex Guerrero
situation and all that stuff. Like, you got cut off basically by the commercial, Scott, but ultimately you were saying that Brady,
he was being optimistic,
saying that Belichick wants to get rid of Brady is overreaching.
Yeah, I think some of the stuff that, you know, we can hear and say, okay, you know, that makes sense, but, you know, sometimes, like, I'm not saying necessarily Corey all the time or whatever, is like, we'll speculate on certain things when nobody knows even for sure, not all of these beat guys, what exactly goes on in the locker room. We hear some of this, and it's really marvelous to hear, and everybody wants to hear the dirty laundry, and it's fascinating. But, you know, when people work together for a long time, you're not always going to agree on everything, et cetera. This is successful relationship.
Yeah. Listen, I get what you're saying, right? But, Scott, this guy Wickersham, we've seen twice now where he does these long, detailed investigative reports. He talks to a lot of people. He's just not talking to a couple of beat writers. He's going to these cities. He's kicking around ties and stuff like that. And he's getting to the bottom of these things. And the only people that are denying it are the teams that are involved. When he did it to the Seahawks over the summer, everybody in Seattle was like, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. Everybody else around the NFL was like, you know what? He's right. Same thing with New England now. This is ridiculous. They don't know what they're talking about. Everybody else in the NFL said, you know what? There's something to it. So it's something to it.
There's people in the Seahawks building that basically gave Wickersham, gave Wickersham some stories and gave him a thumbs up on him being right on the story when it came out. Now, again, I don't think that this story is going to be at the heart of New England falling apart in the playoffs or anything like that. They're going to have to get outplayed by the Titans or the Steelers or whomever comes out of the NFC. I know I presume the Steelers should be winning. It's just my prediction. What do you want to do? So, but I would say that it's just that the Garoppolo trade and Belichick not extracting as much value out of it as he could have with another deal isn't in his repertoire of things that he does. And that's why I think there is something to the story. But we can put that to bed because we'll make a prediction and talk about some other stuff. So, Scott, I'm going to you first. Pats, Titans, it is a 13.5 point spread. The over-under is 48. What do you got?
Scott Angle.
Scotty. Scott may have been cut off, so we'll go to you first, Corey.
No. I think the Patriots beat them up. I think it's 34. I think it's about 34-13. I think it's too much to handle. Maybe they keep it close in the second half. I mean, maybe they keep it close in the first half, but I think New England, and when they'll get on the road, they'll start to go ahead and roll this team, get a nice little practice run for the big one next weekend.
Yeah, almost the exact score that I have. I have Pats 31-13. I'm right there with you. Like, could they put up 40 plus? Absolutely. And try and prove a point? They could. I just don't think they'll have to. And I think they can get out of this. I think they can build up a lead at halftime. And by, you know, the way they do it, Brady will get the ball at the beginning of the second half, will come down, they'll score a touchdown, and they'll be up like 20 at that point. You know what I mean? And it'll be like 28-7 or something like that. And they just grind it out with field goals the rest of the way. In any event, so that's the deal. We have Pats 34, Titans 13 for Corey. Pats 31, Titans 13 for me. We both have the under, though, Corey. Keep that in mind.
I know, it's crazy. Yeah.
Scott, what is your thoughts on this game? Give me a prediction.
I'm going to say Pats 30 and Titans 20.
Wow, then Titans can score 20. Okay.
You got a cover there. You got a cover.
To shut so down
you, you have the over and the Titans cover. So that's going to be an interesting combo. I don't think a ton of people will have that, but I appreciate it. Different structure, different folks.
The Titans will come to play. You know, I know everybody's expecting a blowout based on the reputation of the team. I don't expect the Titans to win, but I don't expect them to come in there and wilt either.
I think Marcus Mariota is going to catch another touchdown pass this week.
Maybe Corey Davis finally can.
So we should put up a poll. What's more likely, Mariota touchdown or a Blake Bortles intentional grounding in the end zone?
I go with
set up your guys'
grounding
prop bets. So to recap all of our predictions, I'll do that now, and then I'm going to go to our polls on Twitter. The Eagles-Falcons game, which is the first one off the board today. That happens at 4:35. That'll be on NBC. The Falcons are the three-point favorite, the 41-point over-under. Scott had the Eagles 20-17. Corey and I are going the other way. He has the Falcons over the Eagles 23-13. I have the Falcons over the Eagles 23-17. Going over to tonight's game, which is Pats-Titans. We just did that. I have 31-13. Corey has 34-13. Scott has 30-20, all in favor of the Patriots. Tomorrow's early game, Steelers-Jags. I have the Steelers 23-10, homer pick. Corey has Steelers 19-7. And Scott has the Steelers 23-13. So we all have the Steelers covering there. And then this, going over to the Saints-Vikings tomorrow on Fox, I have 23-14 Saints. Corey has 21-20 Saints. And Scott has 24-20 Saints. Is that right? You have the Saints too, Scott?
Yeah, and D. Glass.
I just want to make sure.
Dasty Glitz on Twitter has Vikings 40-3.
It's a reasonable choice. No homerism involved there. You and that guy have been going at it. So let me,
Scott, where was
polls.
You at, Scott? Where were you What's at, that? Scott? What happened to you, Scott? We didn't hear you for a minute. What were you doing?
Well, technical difficulties.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Yeah. I'm fine. Corey had dialed 9-1.
Yeah, I dialed 9-1-1 for you, Scott.
He was waiting for that last one.
Corey dialed 9-1.
Yeah, just 9-1, and then he was waiting for more information to get the one.
And then I was going to get that one in there. I was going to get somebody to come get you, Scott.
Yeah. So here's the polls they found on FNTSY Radio today. We retweeted them out and all that kind of stuff. So far, Titans, do the Titans win outright, Titans lose but cover, or do the Pats cover? 54% of the audience has the Pats covering that 13.5-point spread. Going over to the Saints-Vikings game, we have Saints winning outright. 53% of the people, Corey, are with us. They
really?
Have the Saints winning outright. 28%.
I'm going to take a look at that
Vikings.
Money line.
Yeah, no kidding. 28% of people have Vikings covering, but 53% have the Saints winning outright. So I did not expect to be with the public on that one. So Jaguars, 7-point underdogs at the Steelers. 44% have the Steelers covering that 7-point. 36% are going to take the points. Jags lose but cover, and 20% have the Jags winning outright, which is a pretty significant percentage. And then on the Falcons, 3-point favorites at Eagles, what's your call? Similar to the Saints, 53% of the people think that the Falcons will cover that 3-point spread. 35% have the Eagles winning outright, and 12% are going to try to thread the needle on the Falcons win but don't cover with that game. And I would never be involved there. I think the move that I would make, I amazingly picked all four unders. I didn't plan it out that way. I just kind of wrote these scores down. It's how I think it will happen. The one I think that's most likely to go over is the Pats at 48.
Yeah,
but
no
it's
doubt.
A big, it's kind of a big number. You can just see them exploding offensively, right? And maybe even get a special teams touchdown if they pushed it up to 38 points. That's not unreasonable. I mean, they scored 36 against the Steelers last year, and I would put that defense as superior to this Titans defense. Not a huge gap.
That's the narrative. That's the narrative, like, you know, this like the Pats are so much better than the Titans and it's explosive offense overall. But this offense wasn't all that great down the stretch as it usually is, and the Titans are coming to play. You know, I if this is going to be higher scoring, I'll say because the Titans are going to score more. Not that I'm going to expect them to win the game, but I think people assume it's just going to be a walkover, and I don't know about that. It's like I don't think Tennessee's going to win. But, you know, if people want to take the over because they think it's going to be 41-14, I don't think it's going to happen.
I think that's totally fair, Scott. And I actually do think, despite the fact that they may make some changes here, that the Titans are a little underrated. We've picked on them a bunch during these segments, but I think they're a little underrated. I had the Titans over 8.5 this year, and I squeaked across the finish line. They were 8-4, remember, and they lost 3 in a row, and they got their 9th win on the last game of the season in a surprisingly close game against the Jaguars. But I do think that they are a little underrated. They win these ugly, close games, and I think it has people thinking that they're not all that good. I think they just play some ugly games, and yes, play calling and all that kind of stuff is going to be is probably going to get changed in the next year so that Mariota is doing more play action and being more productive in that way. But I think that's completely fair. And there have been playoff games recently where Brady hasn't been all that great. He wasn't lights out in the Super Bowl. He wasn't good against the Texans last year. So I think there's possibilities, at least, Corey, where this game could be closer. Yes?
Yeah, there are possibilities where this game could be closer. Don't think there's no chance. I hate to say that, but don't believe there's no chance of them could get in the win. But listen, you're right. Tennessee could come in there and step up, give them a good first half, get a couple turnovers, get that running game going, sit on them, and, you know, play this one right down to the wire. It's just highly unlikely.
Yeah, and there are two sides to every story. It's like, you know, this is, you know, the narrative is that the Chiefs melted. Well, you know, the Titans are here. They earned this victory.
All true. All true. We're going to come back, wrap it up in the next segment, and hand it over to Weekend Fantasy Update. It's Mike, Corey, and Scott. We'll be back right after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back on the Roto Experts Saturday edition, closing out the third hour. It's our first edition of this show, gentlemen. How do you think it went? Scott, you first.
Hey,
Scott.
I think it went fine. We already have a good moderator.
Thanks, buddy. Corey, you're eager to say something. What is it that you'd like to say?
Mike, it's not as bad as Mr. Sussman may have said it was going to be. So you
right.
did a,
well, that's
it
good.
Was, you did an excellent job in... We'll behave ourselves every week, Mike. It's going to be at least two or three.
You guys don't get paid to be on here to behave yourselves. You get paid to argue.
This is well,
what did Greg say it was going to be like, Corey?
Oh, you know how Mr. Sussman is. You know, he doesn't like when me and you get into our thing and kind of hijack the show. But we did. I think we did good today, Scott. Besides you talking about this damn Hall of Fame hour, I don't want to hear about that no more.
Why, so you're never going to be on it?
Jeff Erickson from RotoWire is going to be on it. Give me one highlight from the show. Why should people listen?
Very interesting to hear how him and Peter Schenke have met and how they started RotoWire.
Got it. It's been a long time running, too. So listen in to that. That's tonight at 8 o'clock. I'm sure Scott will tweet it out. You can find him on Scott E. At Scott E. Roto X. Corey is at The Fantasy Exec. I'm at Mike Blewett. And then you got Weekend Fantasy Updates going to be coming up here in a few minutes. Joe Galina, Frank Stamfel, and Mike Florio. And then the producers from 2 to 4. And the...
Parson Jr.
Fantasy Gold from 4 to 6. What is that? Parson Jr.?
Yeah,
who's
Mike
that?
Florio. Yeah.
Oh,
why is
oh
that?
God.
Yeah. He like idolizes Corey and tries to act like him, but he's not nearly as funny as Corey.
Stop it, Scott.
So he's got
hey,
something
Scotty,
to aspire to.
Let me ask you this, Scott. Scotty, we're gonna be over to GST enjoying some playoff football today, so maybe if you get a chance, you roll through. You know what I mean?
I was not aware of that. You know, maybe I will. You guys gonna be there tomorrow too?
No, just today, Scott. You can't. What you want? You got to set the rules all the time, Scott. I said today. You gonna try to make it tomorrow too? Is the GST
I'm
your establishment, Scott?
What if I can't? Huh? What if I can't? Well, I own the GST. Remember?
Oh boy!
Wow,
yeah. Blewett, please join the GST
down.
Next year.
I will.
Big trash,
thanks,
huh?
Thanks for the invite today. Thanks for the invite.
There you go.
I get to talk to trash now, Corey, and I want right, to leave with a lot of money, not just a belt.
Scott
right.
did
oh!
win Greenwich Street Tavern League. So he won the league, and I think he won the overall title because he had the most points or whatever.
Yeah.
So to the victors go the spoils.
Mike, Corey, I worked with him hard this offseason.
He didn't work hard enough for himself, though, because he hasn't made the playoffs
in
2 years.
Anyway, that's it. That's our that's our 3 hours of Roto Experts. These guys are just going to – By the way, after we go off air, they're just going to keep arguing. So don't think that this is just exclusive
I'm gonna
to
call
their
Corey
on-air
up
personalities.
After this.
Yeah. I'm sure you will. Or you will continue it at Greenwich Street Tavern over wings and beverages and all that good stuff. So, again, two of us like the – Corey and I like the Falcons. Scott likes the Eagles. We all like the Saints. We all like the Pats. And we all like the Steelers. So not a lot of diversity there. Scott just zigging with the Eagles while we're zagging with the Falcons. So – thank you for listening. It'll be Weekend Fantasy Update next on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Any final thoughts, gentlemen? Who's your one fantasy star for the entire weekend? You had to pick one guy, not a quarterback.
Chris Hogan.
Adam Thielen. In the
loss. Look at that. Rocky Marciano day.
I will take... Le'Veon is too easy, so I'll take Alvin Kamara, which might also be easy, but I'm going to take him because some people might think he gets shut down. Smashing Pumpkins, closing it out. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week, next Saturday at 9 o'clock on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.